I notice adults get lost in this building, but the kids don't. Why is that? Whose church is this? Amen. Are you taking care of your church? All right. That's important, you know. We're equal in all of this responsibility. Is that right? All right. That's the way God works it. And I don't think I could outplan him anyway, so we'll just go with his plan. This morning, I want to just begin by asking a couple of questions and give you something to be thinking about. The first question is, how many of you are walking in continuous victory? You don't need to raise your hand. I want you to just think about that. How many of you are walking in continuous victory? And the second question is, how many of you know that you are a son of God? How many of you know that you are a son of God? And it's okay to say daughter, okay? When the Bible talks about this, this is a non-gender word, okay? But we need to understand these terms because they mean a lot, especially from God's perspective. One of the truths that we walk in today is that not everyone who claims to be a Christian is necessarily a son or a daughter. And we are recognized by our spiritual walk, the walk that we do every day with the Lord. And we also allow the Holy Spirit to lead us every day. Some of the places that he'll lead you into is a deeper relationship, intimate relationship with the Father. And it seems like many times we don't have time to allow the Spirit of God to do that. But this is probably one of the most important things that you can do, is to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life, and then learn how to walk in obedience with him. Recognizing our sonship releases our legal rights, our authority. And then we hold, of course, a special place in the presence of God. You know, all power and authority has been given to you and I. But again, like being led by the Spirit, we don't necessarily use what God has given us. And so these are some things that we need to work on this year. They'll make you have a better life, a closer walk with God. And you will begin to see the difference as you begin to walk in a continual victory in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the benefits about being a son or a daughter in God is that you have the availability to walk in the Shekinah glory of God. In other words, when this glory touches the church, you're going to be in a good position to receive what God is going to do with his glory. So be thinking about that as well, because, you know, since the beginning of the place out in the wilderness that God began to minister to the people the glory of God, it's been his intention to carry that glory forth through history and then bring it to the church in these latter times. And so that's what's about to happen. Moses carried godly authority and revelation, and it's not because that he was born necessarily a leader, but because he abided in the presence of the glory of God. You can go back in Exodus and study that out. You know, God visited him every day when they were in the temple out in the wilderness. And listen, God wants to visit you every day if you would just take the time and give him the opportunity. He may not reveal his glory to you yet, but he wants to be with you. to prepare you for what's to come. Now, Moses and Joshua, of course, had similar experiences. The longer they tarried in the glory, the more of God's nature was imparted to them as individuals. And as they became more and more like God, then they received greater strength to overcome the enemy. That's where we gain victory right there, is when we're strong enough to overcome every work of the enemy in our lives. But they also had sharper hearing so that they could hear the voice of God. And then they had swifter steps, I guess would be a way to say it, to be able to run with the Spirit of God. So how would you like to see an increase in these things in your life? Well, let me tell you, you can, especially in the next months to come. All you need to do is just begin pressing in and don't back up. Just keep pressing forward, forward, forward. Because the key that Moses and Joshua had was that they stayed with this kind of life. And they weren't just looking for an experience. I've seen it happen in the what we call the modern church today. But I see people that are looking after the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, but they never look for God. And so when they don't look for God in conjunction with what He does, then they miss God. So again, we need to spend time pressing into Him. All of the other stuff will come naturally or supernaturally. But we need to press in and get in that good, close relationship with Him and walk with Him every day. Now, there's an old hymn that's called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I love that old hymn. It's great, but it has a powerful message to it. That's where we're supposed to be leaning. We're not supposed to be leaning on the power of our own strength, leaning on our own arm of the flesh. And it's also easy to trust in our natural mind and our natural ways of doing things, our understanding, our wisdom, and even our intellectual capabilities. But these things are not going to bring you nothing when it comes to eternal things. And we better start adopting the eternal things, because the other things is what Paul talked about are going to be burned up like hay and stubble. There's not going to be anything left. So anything that we want to build on, we have to build it with God, in God, in Christ, and do that building every day. And we also need to remove our security nets that we've made ourselves comfortable with. We're not worried about missing out on anything, but the truth is we're missing out on a whole lot of what God wants to do, because we won't stretch our faith, we won't step out and step off that proverbial cliff that people talk about, you know. You just get out there where it's just you and God. And that's another thing that God's been, you know, homing in on me about this year. You know, He wants that adopted into our lives, where we're ready to step out, where we're ready to step into that boldness that comes in Christ Jesus. And it's all empowered by the Spirit of God. So we need to get busy doing these things. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs in this particular proverb was talking about people who are afraid to get out beyond their own capabilities and even to exercise themselves to gain the power and the authority from God. Now, this is probably talking more about the physical, but it's also applied to the spiritual. If we'll look in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. But you, lazy bones, how many of us qualify? But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? Oh, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty is going to pounce upon you like a bandit, and lack will attack you like an armed robbery. You see the truth in that? Believe me, it's there. And God does want us to wake up in the spirit realm. We may be doing okay in the physical and emotional and that type of stuff, but we're sure weak in the spirit. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that I'm weak in the spirit? All I have to do is look at the fruit. That's what God does. He just looks at the fruit. And if you don't have any fruit, then you're weak in your relationship with God. And all God is calling us to do is to wake up and get close to Him and begin moving and releasing His kingdom here on this earth as it is in heaven. See, God's a real simple God. He doesn't try to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He doesn't, you know, try to make things hard on us or anything like that. He's real simple. So we need to recognize the hold that this enemy holds on so many of us and then break free in Jesus' name and begin to do the things that God is expecting us to do. We have to wake up and move forward in our life in Christ Jesus. Like it or not, and I've talked about this before, but like it or not, we are in a transition in this church. I don't know about other churches, and they're not my responsibility. But God has us in a transition period that's going to lead up to a radical transformation of the people in this church. So again, it's time to wake up, get hold of God, get yourself plugged in, and get ready for what God's going to do in you and through you. Could you say amen to that? Yeah, because it is. It's something that's going to happen. And it's going to be great, actually, when it happens. We're kind of afraid of it, I think. But hey, I mean, if we can't trust God, who can we trust? Amen. It's very difficult to make a transition from the flesh to the spirit. And you all know that. The New Testament revelation of this change is the manifestation of the cross. I mean, if that did make a radical change in your life, nothing will. But it did. It changed you. It transformed you. And now God wants to continue the work that you began when you received Jesus into your life. John chapter 3, verse 5. Let's see. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now this comes when you receive Jesus. There's an opportunity to receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit. A couple of Sundays ago I preached on that, and we had a demonstration during the ministry time of people being filled are baptized, first of all, and then filled. And we worked on both ends of it, and it was a great time together. And God just is continuing to do this. He's just saying that you must come out of that which you were in order to begin walking in the new realm that He wants you to walk in. And a part of walking in that new realm is you being empowered and led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So we need to step into that and get busy doing what He wants us to do. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 60. I don't know how many times we've been into this book in the last few months, but God keeps leading me back to it. What I want you to understand here is the world needs to see His kingdom, and they can only see it when it's manifested in the life of the Christian, you and I. So Isaiah is a book about the kingdom of God. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Arise, shine, for your light has come. "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, out of that manifestation of glory comes, it will come a great harvest that God has prepared for this, you know, this time in life, in history. And the world says that, the word says that his people will begin to be drawn and then stream into the glory of God. That's where we're supposed to be moving and flowing and literally having our being is in that light that's flowing right now. And in the last days, the church is going to be built not by man's ingenuity, not by the hand of man or the strength of man, but it's going to be built by the glory of God. Something totally different that the world has never seen before, but it's going to be built by God's glory. And the church is destined to go through a radical transformation as well. You know, we're talking about our church, but all of them are going to be brought to a place in history where they have an opportunity to follow after the glory of God and this transformation. And when this thing happens, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. And I believe that this is a pivotal year for the transition. But the first thing that's going to happen in this church and other churches is that we will embrace a totally different mindset. We will embrace a totally different mindset. I'll tell you what, when I was 18 years old, today I'm not even close to where I was back then. Because God has transformed my mind with his word. And he has brought me to a place where, hey, you know, I'm up here sharing with you about something I haven't even encountered yet. But I know it's real. And I know that God's going to do it. But what we'll go through is a shift. Does everybody know what a paradigm shift is? That means you're looking at something and then you move your eyes just a little bit and it's something different. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen in the church. We're going to have our focus one way, and God's going to shift it just a little bit, and we're going to see the kingdom of God. And we're going to see the power that's available to us in the kingdom of God. So it's going to be a really neat thing when it happens. And this doesn't mean that we're all going to have to become perfect before it happens. Remember, God still uses imperfect vessels, okay? And he works on us, you know, cleansing us and so forth, but he doesn't require a perfect vessel for what he's about to do. So it means that God will establish his reign here on this earth as we seek his face and as we seek him to be in the midst of our church, in the midst of our families, in the midst of our personal life. Now, the second thing that's going to happen is for us to let go. Let go. God wants us to let go of the past. So many people have not let go of it. And it causes a hindrance in their life. And so many people today are locked into a pattern of the past. And God wants to set you completely free. I don't care what the problem was back then or how many problems you had. It's going to be corrected because of the name and the blood of Jesus. You see, it's a part of this transition. He wants us to get our focus off of the past. And this also means even the religious foundations of the past. Now, I don't mean do away with the foundations, but I mean being no longer afraid to build on those foundations. Okay? I mean, we have denominations of all color, all kinds, you know, so many of them out there. But I want to build on the truth of God's word. And when God says that his power is going to manifest through me to reach this lost and dying world, then I want to see it. I don't want a religion that will explain it away. I don't want a religion that says, oh, well, that passed away with the apostles. No, I want what God's doing, what God is releasing right now. And I want to be a part of it, and I want this church to be a part of it. And you see, this disobedience in these areas right here have locked many into this lethargy I was talking about last Sunday and having a passive spirit. And we need to break free. God wants to break us free. But to so many people in this day and age, in this church, in this time, every Sunday is the same old thing, because it seems like that, you know, there's nothing changed. And what has happened is they're the ones that have changed, because they've moved away from God. They are no longer in tune with what God is doing and what God is saying. And I see the truth of this. It's so easy to become passive in your relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I want an active God. I want one that's just jumping all over everywhere and doing, you know, great and awesome things to touch the world for Jesus. And if we can't find a God like that, or let a God like that come into our church and work, then what's the use? We could all stay at home and watch religion on TV. Amen. But God has a different plan for us. Listen, whether you're in tune or not with God, the glory is still coming. It doesn't need your permission to come and just break churches wide open and begin to minister life and signs and miracles and wonders through these churches. So don't think God's waiting on you to cross the bridge or the river or whatever, or waiting for your permission, because he's not. You'll be the loser if you're not prepared. And it's time that we get prepared. You know, God is going to come out of obscure places like he did when Jesus was born. We're going to see people that you never even thought had any relationship with God. But suddenly, yeah, there's that suddenly of God, you know. You know, their whole life changes in, you know, just a snap. And that's the greatness of our God. That's the grace and the mercy of our God. And we're going to see these things happen. Now, you and I call me insignificant. I don't know what you think you are, but I really feel like I'm an insignificant person. And the more I hang around God, the less important I think I am. I really do. And what God is pulling out of me, he's replacing with his love. I tell you what, my level of love right now is not even close to where it used to not be. But God has, you know, just as he pulls things out of me, he replaces it with an abundance of love. And God wants to do that with all of us. And people are going to be able to hear things that they've never heard before. And not only just people in church, but we're talking about people outside the church who've never been associated with churches or religion or any of this. They're going to hear things that are just going to pop their eyes open. and they're going to receive a fresh revelation of Almighty God. And that's coming. It's here. Most of it is already here. Paul recognized this in his own life when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Amen. So God's not looking for a bunch of profound preachers or evangelists or anything like that. God's just looking for insignificant little people who will just do what God says, who will just receive what God pours into you, and then step out and start using it. Amen? And that time is here right now. We're not going to have to wait till next Sunday or a month from now or a year from now. It's here. And if you'll just get connected with God on a day-to-day basis, you're going to find out it is here. And it's going to change your life forever. So think about it. God wants to use you if you'll let Him. You know, it was just like Israel. Israel was set apart, but not because they were better looking or because they were a more clever people or a shrewd people. But it wasn't that they were even a socially accepted race. There were none of these elements in Israel. What set them apart from other nations was the presence of God's glory. And they didn't even ask for it. That's what's, you know, amazing. God just came, brought His glory with Him, and began to share that glory with Moses at first. And what did they do about it? They did what I hope none of you do. They told Moses, "You go talk to God. We're afraid of Him." And actually, that's where the church has been for hundreds of years. "Pastor, you go talk to God, and if we happen to be in church Sunday, then we'll listen to what He told you." But the truth is, they don't listen even when they come, so many of them, because they're not wanting to receive anything except, "What can help me today? You know, what can you tell me that's going to make my life a little easier?" Well, that's not where God is working right now. If you ask God, He will give you what you need. I mean, He's a good God. But that's not where His priority is. And we need to put our own priority there. The cloud covered the mercy seat back in those days. And the mercy seat was located in the Ark of the Covenant. And this is where Israel learned to abide. And this is what separated them from all the other nations. So listen, the glory will separate and it will differentiate us and abide in us if we will simply allow God to do it. Remember, God is not a pushy person. He's not going to push His way into your life. Everything that you have is by invitation from God. You ask Him, and He'll come do it. But it's also to open your heart and receive what God is pouring out on a day-to-day basis. The mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant was a special place where God would go and He would rest His glory. And this doesn't make sense to us today. Even as the glory is coming, you know, we're finding such mercy and compassion and love and understanding of joy that God is just pouring out. He doesn't need a special place to dwell anymore. He dwells in His Son, Christ Jesus. And He dwells in the Spirit of God that's on this earth right now, ministering to the churches, ministering to people. And the key for us is to say, Lord, this is the hour of your glory. This is the hour of your glory. And if the glory is coming, it also has to be the season of your kingdom. Because where God's glory is, you're going to find his kingdom. And where God's kingdom is, you're going to find his glory. They work hand in hand. And God does not manifest his glory without a very specific reason. And right now he has a specific reason, a specific agenda in which he's releasing it. So Jesus instructed us to pray this, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Can you imagine with the obedient people over 2,000 years who have been praying that? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Well, it's the fruit of those prayers that has released the kingdom of God to come in this generation. And so we ought to be thankful for all of those faithful people through the years, hundreds of years, that prayed that, and now it's about to be released. So we need to cry out then, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. We need to get bold and begin to declare these things to God. Declare them by faith, believing that you're asking for it and you really, truly want it. Show me your glory, Lord. Change my life with your glory, Lord. And we just praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. So do you have a better understanding of where we're going this year? Nobody? This is yes. This is no. It's ours. All we have to do is just reach out and claim it. Just receive it in Jesus' name. So, do we really want to make room for the glory then in this year, 2016, as a church? If I voted on it, if I let you vote on it, would we have a unanimous vote that we want the glory of God? I think we would. Because I think there are enough hungry people in churches today that just want what God wants. Amen? And so do we really want Jesus to be so very prevalent in our midst? Or is he going to interfere too much with our lifestyle? Come, Lord Jesus. Change us. Lead us through this time of change, where we can be more like you and have more of you in our life and in our church. What is it that you really want? And if your heart's anywhere close to God, you're going to answer him. Just want God. Just want God. So it's time to decide. Transition is already here. So you need to decide that you're going to receive what God's going to do, or are you going to reject what God's going to do? As I told you earlier, it's not going to hinder God. He's got what he's going to do. It's already been planned out since before the foundation of the world. And now is the time, and God is going to do it. The big question is, are we going to get in on it? If I'm the only one in this church, I'm going to get in on it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for what you're revealing to us, Father, in this age, in this season. Father, things that are yet to come, the But Father, they're ready. And you've prepared this time for the church. Out of all of the things, the issues and the problems the church has had since over the last 2,000 years, Father, you're ready to release your plan for each church. So, Father, I thank you that we are going to grow this year. We're going to grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge, and we're going to grow in hunger, Lord. Hunger for you. Hunger for your glory. And so, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we as the people of this church give you all of the permission, the power, and the authority that you need to come and lead us out of these places that we find ourselves in. We just want to be where you're moving, God. We want to be where you're moving. And we just give you praise for what you're going to do. And Lord, we just declare these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.